Our lesson tonight centers around a question which I want to ask, and for which I do not have the exact answer. How long is the long in long-suffering? When I'm through tonight, I will admit to you that I do not have an exact black-and-white mathematical, numerical answer that I can give to that question. If you were to ask me how long is a mile, I can tell you in feet. If you were to ask me how long a meter is, I can tell you. At least two places past the decimal. There are a lot of questions that I could ask tonight and you could answer in an exact way, or you could ask and I could answer in an exact way. There are several times that I can define the word long in an exact way. But I'm not for sure that I know exactly how to measure the long in long suffering. Not only that, but in just a moment, as I read several verses, some of you are going to be following in a version that doesn't even use the word long-suffering. You will find in some of the versions that the translation of this concept is almost always patience or patient. But I want you to just listen for a few minutes as I share with you several passages of Scripture that include either the word long-suffering or after that the concept that is translated in other ways in other passages. In the list of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5 at verse 22, many of which were used as specific subjects in our 545 service last semester, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Did you notice that the fourth one that's mentioned there is long-suffering? Which says that if we're going to follow after the Spirit and have the fruits of the Spirit in our lives, that we must understand something about the concept of long-suffering. In Ephesians 4, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. In Colossians, the third chapter, in verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And then as we turn over to 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And then in 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, and verse 2, which was a part of our reading a moment ago, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. We may better understand the doctrine in that passage than we do the long-suffering. And then over in 1 Peter, the third chapter, at verse 20, where he's talking about what happened back in the days of Noah, he says about the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. Here, long-suffering is talked about as a characteristic of God, and especially in that setting of the time that Noah was building the ark. In 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Again, the word long-suffering is used to describe God and his relationship to us. Back in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, in verse 14, in the original Greek, the same word is used, or at least the same root word is used, when he translates it patient. Listen, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." And that's the same word or the same root concept in the original language as where we have been reading the word translated long-suffering. Be patient toward all men. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter and verse 12, he says that you be not slothful, but followers of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. One of the characteristics that we need in order to inherit the promises is the quality of long-suffering, being patient. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, and then verse 10, notice that he talks about patience and all of those, chapter 5, James, verse 7, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." Verse 8, "Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Verse 10, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience." And here again, the root word is the same concept as that word long-suffering. In all of these passages, the Bible talks about long-suffering. And then it seems to me in 1 Corinthians 13:5 that we have what may be the very opposite of long-suffering when he uses the word provoked, and then suggests the idea of long-suffering when he says that love is something that is not easily provoked. I think there would be no damage done to that passage if we were to describe that by saying that love is long-suffering. Although I indicated to you a few minutes ago that I cannot give an exact answer, and even when we're through tonight, I don't think we will have answered it in an exact mathematical way as to how long the long is in long-suffering. I believe we can understand what God wants us to understand about it. The word itself comes from two root words that mean long and temper. And really the idea is, long-suffering is the idea that one has a long fuse to his temper, that is not easily ignited. Some of you have used firecrackers on the 4th of July and other times. There's some of those things that as soon as you stick the match to the fuse, you better get them out of your hand because the fuse is short. And there are others that have a long fuse that you can light and maybe hold it for a few minutes. Even with those, I prefer to get rid of them as soon as possible. But you can hold it for a little while and the fuse doesn't burn up to where the explosion is there for a little while. I think that's the concept that's involved with long suffering. That there is a long fuse to one's temper, and that he is not easily provoked. His temper is not easily turned on. He is not easily stirred up in a negative way. It's interesting to look at all of those passages that deal with the subject of long suffering. I want to draw a few conclusions tonight, or at least suggest some ideas relative to this word. If you listened and followed along as I read those passages, I think you were impressed with the importance of long-suffering. on the part of God, long-suffering is important. Aren't you glad tonight personally that God sometimes has a long fuse and that He suffers long with us, perhaps sometimes longer than we deserve, maybe most of the time longer than we deserve? There in 1 Peter 3:20, the long-suffering of God was present in the days of Noah. At that time, it seemed that the hearts of men were thinking evil continually, and God almost, well, it says God repented Himself that He'd made man. But when He saw Noah particularly, He not only was interested in saving him, but at least gave the people an opportunity to hear the preaching of Noah for a long period of time. He was long-suffering. And then in 2 Peter, as he talks about our looking for the time when this earth is going to be destroyed and God is going to come back, described in verse 10 as the day of the Lord that cometh and the thief as a thief in the night, in the verse just before that says God is long-suffering toward us. Doesn't want us to perish, but He wants us to come to repentance. So the importance of the concept is emphasized in that God is long-suffering. And where we're told by Paul in 1 Timothy 1:16 to be long-suffering, he likens it unto a quality of Christ. Christ definitely was long-suffering as He lived on this earth. Long-suffering is commanded. There where Paul began that, or where he was in the middle of that Ephesian letter, the beginning of the fourth chapter's man is divided, he said, I want to talk to you about walking for Christ. And you know that chapter has so many things about the Christian life. And just before he even mentions the seven ones and emphasizes the unity, he says, I want you to walk with long-suffering and meekness and lowliness as far as your attitude is concerned. Long-suffering is important. It is a part of love. It is a part of living. And it ought to be a part of our preaching. And sometimes we may not include it in our preaching as much as we ought. And I'm sure that I have been just as guilty of that as the next. But in the same verse there where he says, preach with doctrine, where he says, reprove and rebuke along with exhortation, he says, do it with long-suffering. Sometimes we that preach the gospel may leave the impression that we are glad that we can tell people that they're wrong, instead of being glad that we can tell them that there is an answer for the problem which exists. Long-suffering is important. Also, from the Word of God and the use of the dictionary and common sense, I believe we can have a good idea of what is involved with long-suffering, although we may not be able to say this is exactly where it stops and this is exactly where it starts. We can know that it is suppressing our anger. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath. Watch your anger. Be slow to wrath, you remember James says. Suppress it. Be careful about letting it pop up. And when it does, watch it and control it. I'm convinced that that's involved in our long-suffering. A second idea that's involved in the nature of it is that it's overcoming one's temper. That's not always easy. Some of us have more control over the temper than others. And yet I suppose even the person who has the greatest amount of control has a breaking point somewhere. Long-suffering is controlling the temper. There's an indication in some of these passages that long-suffering has to do with exercising patience. That's not one of my long suits. The best time to do something for me is yesterday. I don't like to wait. I'd rather do anything than wait. I'm reminded of the fellow who said to his wife, it's time to go. And many times he said that, and finally she sort of got upset. She said, I've been telling you for an hour I'd be ready in a minute. Now, I just don't have the kind of patience sometimes, and there's at least one witness in this audience who would say amen if she could, and she better not. But patience is not one of my long suits. But I'm convinced that it needs to be, and that I need to work on it, because it's involved with this long suffering. Accepting persecution, especially when we are falsely accused. Not just looking for persecution, but being ready to stand up under it and to suffer long. You turn that word around and it sort of helps us to understand it. Long suffering, suffering long, if necessary for the cause of Christ. And perhaps it involves trying to develop the ability to listen and to understand and to give the other person the benefit of the doubt and take some time for teaching, especially when the problem with the other person seems to be out of weakness and not out of rebellion. I believe these are some of the ideas, at least, that help us to understand what long-suffering means. It means suppressing our anger, overcoming the temper problem and learning to control one's temper, exercising patience, being willing to suffer persecution if necessary for the cause of Christ, and being willing to listen and take some time not jumping to conclusions, as it is so easy for us to do. But having said that, it is also possible for us to abuse long-suffering. Long, no matter how long it is, has a beginning and an end. The very nature of the word suggests that there's somewhere where that word ends, or the concept that's described by that word ends. I think we see this when we look at how God acted in those passages where we were reading about his long-suffering. He was long-suffering during the days of Noah. But folks, eventually the flood came. He's long-suffering in 2 Peter 3:9 and doesn't want any of us to perish, all to come to repentance, but verse 10 says, eventually the day of the Lord's going to come with his coming for the end of the world or the end of life, whichever happens for each of us first. Long-suffering, by the very nature of the word, indicates that there comes a point that even God gives up. Read the first chapter of Romans. And granted, in that chapter you have described some of what you and I would call the worst sins that have ever been thought of. And yet in the latter part of that chapter it says that God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You and I need to be very careful doing that, because we don't know the inner thinking of a person as God does. And we may think a person has reached the point of no return when he has not, but God knows, and God gives a person over to a reprobate mind. He just gave up on these because he knew their nature and their relationship to him. Perhaps we abuse long-suffering when we treat rebellion as weakness. The Bible tells us in passage after passage that we need to be careful in the treatment of a weak brother. But folks, there comes a point in the life of all of us, or any of us, when weakness becomes rebellion. The problem is not weakness anymore. When a person says, I know what I ought to do, I know that's the truth, but when someone takes the word of God and says, yes, I know that's what God's word says, but that's rebellion. And there is a difference in rebellion and weakness. And we need to be careful that we don't condone rebellion in the name of long-suffering. Perhaps another area where we may abuse this is getting the concept of grace and the concept of tolerance mixed up. Grace is such an important subject. And I'm not sure that there's any of us who understands just how great the grace of God is. And if it were not for his grace, there'd be no need for any of us to be here tonight. But I think I hear people today talking about grace as if it meant tolerance, suggesting, here's somebody down here living in sin. Now, God's a God of grace, so let's leave him alone. Let's let him live in sin, and let's tolerate where he is. Let's be long-suffering toward him. Perhaps there's a degree of that in the teaching idea, that we need to be sure that he knows and we need to be long-suffering in the teaching. But the grace of God never intended for a person to live in sin and be condoned and tolerated. His grace made it possible for man to get out of that sin and repent of it and turn to Christ and receive forgiveness and walk in the highway of holiness and have a higher life. And we may be abusing long-suffering when we take the subject of grace and put it over into tolerance in the sense of tolerating sin and just let people continue in sin, ourselves or others, and say nothing about it. And we may be abusing the long-suffering of God when we forget His commandments, when we know exactly what He teaches. And folks, you and I can be just as guilty of that as the person in another country or another community. We know what God's Word teaches and just don't want to do it, and we won't be long-suffering with us. There comes a time when such an idea is the abuse of the concept, because there is even an exhaustion of long-suffering. You and I have had the experience in dealing with different things of saying, I give up. I don't know where to go. I've exhausted everything that I know to do. Well, even God exhausted His long-suffering relative to these that we have mentioned. Even with Jezebel, He gave her time or space to repent, and she repented not. There came a time when God was not even long-suffering with someone like that, up to a point. And here's where we have the difficulty in defining the long. Sometimes it's difficult for us to define that point. God knows, and I'm glad He does. But we need to be able to try to determine as much as we can. There comes a time when even the suffering of God gives out, the allowance of God gives out. At the times of their ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, Acts 17, verse 30. Look at the history of Israel. How many times did God suffer long with them? Maybe longer than you and I would have had we been in control. But you especially study the judges, and you'll find that there came a time God let them be overcome. God let the Philistines or someone else take them over. God was long-suffering with them as He brought them out of Egypt. But eventually, He let them wander for the 40 years. And with many of those, He was long-suffering. For there came a time, though, when even the long-suffering of God came to an end. And God said, this is it. One of these days, the long-suffering of God is going to come to an end as far as this world is concerned. I don't want to base my faith upon the predictions of those who think it might be soon in the sense that they can predict it. I don't know when it's going to be, but I know that it's going to be. I know one of these days God's long-suffering is going to run out on any of us. And even as individuals, His long-suffering may run out on us. He doesn't want us to be lost, but if we're determined to be lost, He'll let us. God will let us die outside of Christ, because His long-suffering comes to a point that it is exhausted. And I think sometimes, folks, maybe even in our association with one another, we need to exhaust the long-suffering and take a stand for the truth of God exactly where He stands. And when we do that, I think we're in good company and we can have a better idea of what it means. As I was looking at some of the definitions that were given for long-suffering, in Vine's Expository Dictionary, he included this: long-suffering is that quality of self-restraint in the face of provocation which does not hastily retaliate or promptly punish. Now, he didn't say that there will never come a time for punishment. He didn't say that even with God there will never come a time when there's some retaliation, not to get even, but to punish and to give one the just reward. But he says he doesn't hastily, retaliate or promptly punish. After talking for a few minutes, I still say to you, I'm not exactly sure how long the long is in long suffering. But I believe looking at these concepts can help us a little bit to have a better attitude toward one another, and at least learn to give a person the benefit of the doubt, and at least listen, and to try to understand, and to try to help. And if we can use a little more time to the end result of bringing that person to Christ, to use that, I know at least that idea is involved in long-suffering. And from a very personal standpoint, all of us need to think about that long temper idea. A long fuse to one's temper. We never accomplish anything by letting the temper get out of control. Firmness? Yes. Taking a stand? Yes. But it doesn't have to be done with anger and a bad temper. And perhaps long suffering is best understood in that idea that it's a long fuse to one's temper, keeping the temper under control. I ask you to think about this concept. As I indicated, I can't answer all the questions. But I think I have raised enough questions tonight and presented enough of God's Word on the subject to help us to have a better understanding of our long-suffering one toward another. And then I want to ask one other question. Is it possible that the long-suffering of God could be running out for you? I would believe that there are people here tonight who week after week after week after week hear the Word of God preached, hear the Christ of the Bible promoted, hear the invitation of that Christ to come to Him, hear about the long-suffering of God, and you just keep on wanting God's suffering to be a little longer and a little longer and a little longer. And perhaps with all of us on some of our own mistakes, and maybe even some that have made mistakes publicly, the same thing is true. Isn't it possible that God's long-suffering could run out? If He gave up on others, if He gave others over, if He let others die in sin, could He not you? We are so thankful for the long-suffering of God. But folks, we ought not to try to stretch it out any longer than it really is. Don't let the long-suffering of God cease. The flood did come. He was long-suffering, but the flood did come. He's long-suffering, but the day of the Lord is coming. There will be a time when even the long-suffering of God runs out. If you need to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, if you need to come asking for prayers, don't take a chance on God's long-suffering running out on you. You know you have now, as together we stand and sing.
Tis for you of love from the source above, and He bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free?